The story of Mert and Marge. Well, Myrtle Spear is back, just as mysteriously as she disappeared. When Billy DeVere walked into the dressing room for the evening show, she found Myrtle there, all ready to go on stage. Myrtle had arrived at 7:15 p.m., sometime before the rest of the girls generally come in to make up. Mert steadfastly refused to tell anyone what had happened to her. Only Billy DeVere knows she has been a prisoner of Duke Sandfield, a suave gambler who operates the swank casino Harry Duffy took Mert to. And Billy won't talk for reasons of her own. Maybe we'll get some more information in just a moment when we listen to today's chapter of the story of Mert and Marge. The curtain has fallen on Hayfield's pleasures, and the theater is dark. Jack Arnold has sent Margie to stay with Nell, one of the other chick-chicks, while he talks to Mert. As we join them, Jack and Mert have just entered her apartment. Mert is talking.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought me home, Jack. I hope Margie will be all right staying with Nell tonight.
Well, I thought it best not to have her here, Myrtle. Poor little girl's been almost crazy.
Oh, just think of all the trouble I've made for everybody, besides missing the show. Oh, Jack, you warned me about getting too thick with Harry Duffy. You said it'd probably end up in a mess, and it has. Harry Duffy's dead. Oh, Jack, they won't try to blame me for that, will they?
Well, you have an alibi. Pat saw you come into the theater at exactly 7:15. Mm-hmm. Witnesses saw Duffy shot. There were three men in a black sedan. It happened at the head of the alleyway leading to the back entrance of the Red Rooster, and the time was 7:45. Well, that should clear you.
Well, just a minute, Jack. How did they know it was Duffy? I mean, so soon.
Well, someone came out of the back entrance of the Red Rooster, up to the end of the alleyway, right after the shooting, and into the crowd that was gathering. He stood there with the crowd, and just as the police landed on the spot, this fellow identified the body as that of Harry Duffy. They're holding that man as a material witness.
Well, he must have been an awful fool.
Well, he was and is.
Oh, go on, Jack.
Well, then the chief of police phoned me at your apartment. It was 8:05.
Mm-hmm.
I took Margie and Nell to the theater immediately and warned them to say nothing about what had happened. It was a few minutes after 8 when we got to the theater.
Yes, I was all made up and ready for the show when you three got there.
Mm-hmm.
Poor little Margie.
Myrtle, are you sure you've mentioned to no one where you've been or anything that's happened from the time you left this apartment yesterday afternoon?
Absolutely no one, Jack. I didn't even say a word to Margie after the show, but I realize I've got to tell you about it.
Well, your real story's got to wait. It can't enter into this, Myrtle. Remember, left your apartment with a racketeer.
Mm-hmm.
With all the good intentions in the world, that of helping Margie and Jimmy, and wherever you've been, it has to do with racketeers. Then a racketeer was murdered, the same man that left this apartment with you.
Oh, Jack, you don't think I know anything about that, do you?
Oh, no, Myrtle, I'm sure you don't, but all the circumstances from the time you disappeared to your reappearance tonight, including the killing of Duffy, would make great reading for the public. That is, if the facts were printed. And there'd be grounds for holding you as a material witness.
Oh, please, Jack, let me tell you now.
I haven't time for that, Myrtle. I've got to have a story of some kind for the press. At the first inkling of your reappearance, the reporters are going to crowd in on you.
Well, Jack, you know, I think the real story would clear me of any connections with the killing of Duffy.
But it would still have to do with racketeers, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And they've threatened you with death if you told where you were.
Yeah, they have.
So you... Oh.
You answer, please, Jack.
Hang on. Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Hayfield.
Oh, Jesus.
Is that so? Yes, yes, I've been expecting that. Well, Mr. Hayfield, can you stall them off? No. Don't give them this address or the phone number. No, you know nothing about it. Well, tell them Miss Spear will make a statement tomorrow. Yes, I'll take care of everything. Yes, we'll try to avoid... What did you say? Publicity? Ah, well, that's a thought. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Hayfield, first thing in the morning. Right. Goodbye.
Oh, Jack, do you suppose I'll lose my job? Oh, this is terrible. What'd he say?
He said the papers are clamoring for a statement. They want your address.
Well, he didn't give it to him, did he? My dial phone is unlisted, but there's a house phone operated from the switchboard downstairs.
Oh, well, I've instructed the operator already.
Well, what else did Mr. Hayfield say?
Well, he said this affair had upset him, that he doesn't want a big scandal to come out of your disappearance.
Sure.
Of course, he knows nothing about it. He probably thinks it's some escapade of yours.
Well, Jack, he knows I'm not up to escapades.
Well, he said if it could appear like a publicity stunt, it...
Well, why can't it, Jack?
Huh?
Just let it be a publicity stunt, and let's not give any explanation at all. Let it be a mystery.
Oh, Myrtle, do you suppose the papers would rest for a minute without your disappearance being explained?
Well, maybe we can get a hold of Fred Hansen.
Hansen? You mean Hayfield's publicity man?
Yes, he lives over on Long Island. Funny he wasn't around at the theater tonight. He could have taken care of the whole thing.
Hmm. You know his number?
Yeah, I'll use a dial phone. Fred'll be just the one. He can fix anything.
Well, it's way after 12 now. The newspaper probably won't bother you tonight, and it's too late for most of the morning edition. Yeah, perhaps Fred could get a story in the afternoon papers.
Well, it rings. Probably asleep.
Oh.
He'll hate me for this. Oh, hello? Fred Hansen? Is that you, Fred? This is Myrtle Spear. I'm sorry to wake you up. Oh, you weren't? Well, I got back tonight. Oh, you haven't? Where'd your nose for news, Fred? Well, listen, I want to see you, Fred. Yeah? Well, see, Fred, I just wanted to tell you it was a publicity stunt. Yes. Well, Mr. Hayfield says it's got to be, and it's up to you. You've got to help me out. Oh, say, you can do anything, Fred. Yes, the papers will be on my neck first thing in the morning. No? Oh, yes, could you? Jackie wants to know if he could come over right away. He can take the subway, and he'll get here in about half an hour.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea. Yeah, tell him to come.
Hello, Fred. Yeah, come right away. Oh, you're a darling. All right, bye. Hours and time mean nothing to an old drum beater like Fred Hansen.
Well, he may be able to help us out, but yeah. Myrtle, he can't know anything of the true facts. Understand? With my instructions and Hayfield's okay, he can concoct his own story.
Oh, I'm so glad of that. Now I won't have to do any thinking.
Well, Myrtle, I'm afraid you're going to do plenty of thinking now, for while we're waiting for Fred, we'll have to get into a story of yours from the time you left here yesterday.
Okay.
I see.
As you know, Harry Duffy and I left here yesterday afternoon around 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We got into a car that was waiting down in front.
Mm-hmm.
The driver was the same fellow who drove us to Murray's that night. Duffy passed out on the Bright Eyes. Seems like that night Harry called him Slim or some such name. I'm not sure.
Excuse me, Myrtle. But when you went out of Murray's that night, was that particular driver waiting out in front?
Well, I didn't see him, Jack. I hailed a passing cab that night.
Oh, all right. Well, go on.
Well, when we left here, the car went north on Broadway. I asked Duffy why he didn't tell the driver where to go, and he said the driver knew. Harry said he wanted to surprise me, that the place was the swellest joint in town, just the kind of a place where I'd fit in as the hostess. He said I'd lend atmosphere to the house of Duffy.
Myrtle, what have you gotten into? Does anyone else know about this?
Well, I don't think he told anyone else about his proposition.
I certainly hope not.
Jackie told me he'd even marry me.
Well, considerate of him.
All the way up to the place, he told me of his other plans and how crazy he was about me.
Oh, what were his other plans?
Well, as I told you before, his brother Spike Duffy and their outfit from Chicago planned to help themselves to the places that used to belong to the Duffys back in the old days, before Bill Houston and his boys muscled them out of business.
Times haven't changed much. Well, go on.
Well, we drove up to around 75th Street and then turned right. The place was a beautiful old residence, three stories high. I don't know the street or number. But I could find it again,
don't
I think.
Don't you know the address? I thought you were smarter than that, Myrtle.
Well, I was so all agog with the information he was spilling, I didn't notice.
Yeah, well.
But I'm sure it was the other side of Park Avenue.
Well, then what?
We went up the stone steps. An attendant in uniform opened the door. There was a tremendous foyer and a wide marble stairway, huge crystal chandeliers. Oh, it was exactly like a fine old home, except for the cocktail lounge. Of course, the first place Duffy headed for was the bar, and he asked me what I'd have, and I told him to shake me up a steak and French fries.
In the cocktail lounge?
No, Jack. Duffy told him to send it upstairs to us. And then we went up. Harry knocked on the door, and we went into a big room with the most elaborate gambling devices I ever saw. The place wasn't very crowded, only a few people playing roulette.
Well, did you recognize anybody in the room?
I had never seen any of them before.
Well, did you play the wheel?
Yeah, Duffy staked me. I played 5 chips on 11, and it lost. Just then, a man came up to Duffy and said he wanted to speak to him. Duffy introduced him to me. His name is Sandfield. They called him the Duke. He runs the place. And Sandfield's from Chicago, and The place has only been open a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Duffy said even City Hall hadn't heard of it.
This Sandfield, what's he like?
Oh, Jack, he's the last word in good looks. Personality, suave, smooth, and courteous. Well, a gentleman gambler. He sure has what it takes to run a place like
that. Well, now, you were saying you had played 5 chips on 11 and lost. Well, perhaps.
Then I played it again, and it won for me. Harry Duffy came back just as I played 11 again. And it won, and I said to him, 3 more spins and I retire. And then a voice at my elbow said, you should have retired 10 years ago, Spear.
Who was it?
3 guesses.
Oh, Billy DeVere?
No one else but the DeVere herself.
Mert seems to have cooked up a way of explaining her mysterious disappearance to the press by disguising it as a publicity stunt. But that doesn't answer the questions the police might have to ask her about the connection with Harry Duffy. Will she be mixed up with the murder investigation? And what will happen to her now that she has told her story to Jack Arnold? Be sure to hear the next exciting episode of the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.